You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, this is Tim Rice, and welcome to episode 34 of my podcast, Get Onto My Cloud. I'm returning again to chess for this episode of my podcast. I've already seriously plundered the vast collection of outtakes, demos, and alternate versions of the songs and scenes that Benny Andersson, Björn Ulvaeus, and I recorded, mainly in Polar Studios, Stockholm, in late 1983 and 1984, just managing to finish the double album project in time for its official release and promotional European tour in October that year. This is my fifth dip into the creation of the chess album that preceded any stage or concert versions, which, I'm glad to say, have been going strong for the past 36 years. Even during the COVID pandemic, which, as I record this chat, still retains a pretty unpleasant grip on the globe, there is a major theatrical production running in Moscow. I've enjoyed reminding myself of the way that the songs in the score developed and how brilliantly Björn and Benny, and their formidable team led by the spectacular orchestrations of Anders Elias, their studio engineer-in-chief Michael Tretauer, and of course various long-standing members of the ABBA band, how brilliantly Björn and Benny made sure that every track was never passed fit for purpose until every conceivable avenue of presentation, sonically, musically, and lyrically, had been explored. Rather like an ABBA album, really. On a worldwide record and radio basis, the biggest hit song to emerge from the show was One Night in Bangkok, which was number one all over Europe, with a notable exception of the UK, where it only staggered to number 12. However, it climbed to number 3 in America and was also a big hit in most Asian and Australasian territories. I'm not sure that many of those who played or liked the song realized it was part of the score of an as-yet unstaged musical. One of the aspects of the actual game of chess that appealed to me before I even drafted out my story idea was that world championships could take place almost anywhere. This gave me the opportunity of setting different parts of the story in dramatically contrasting parts of the world. And I chose Murano in Tyrolean Italy for the first act and Bangkok in Thailand for the second. There actually was a world championship final in Murano in 1981 between two Soviet players, one Anatoly Karpov, based in Russia, and the other Viktor Korchnoi in European exile. Although, as far as I know, there's never been a significant chess competition in Thailand, either recently or in the days when it was known as Siam, Korchnoi and Karpov played a World Series 3 years before their dust-up in the Tyrol in the Philippines. Karpov won both matches. Björn came up with some excellent ideas and phrases for One Night in Bangkok, including the great line, "One night in Bangkok makes a hard man humble." And with that sort of start, it proved one of the easier chess lyrics to complete. However, Murray Head's first take on the song did not feature the final version that so many took to their hearts without having a clue what it was on about. This vocal was recorded in March 1984, with the choruses sung by Björn.
Time flies, doesn't seem a minute since the Tyrolean spa had the chess world in it. All changed, don't you know that when you play at this level, there's no ordinary venue. It's Iceland or Murano or Hastings or Bangkok. Oriental rhythm, heavenly sights, but there's hell there with them. These days, it's only the beginner comes to Thailand looking for Yul Brynner. Here's a little tip for all you games players. Employ it, you're gonna get a fix, so you might as well enjoy it. And the natives are so friendly. Get tired if you get my meaning. Better lean the way that the Buddha's leaning. Siamese kittens are warm, sweet. Somerset up in the Somerset Mom Suite. That's in the Oriental Hotel, you know.
Makes a hard man humble. No much between despair and ecstasy.
looking at the city. All those chances wasted, Siamese juices flowing untasted. So many flavors. Siam's gonna be the witness to the ultimate test of cerebral fitness. I am only an observer, but it means I'll play with unprecedented fervor. You can see much more from the sidelines.
There are one or two rather nice couplets in there which perhaps didn't deserve to be culled. Anyway, the final version worked okay. Bjorn was a very handy demo singer to have on tap during the Chess sessions. Of course, he's been much more than a demo singer on several ABBA tracks, notably Does Your Mother Know, but on the first major post-ABBA enterprise for B&B, he was an invaluable and cheap vocal asset. The character and statements of the arbiter in chess are important. In the real chess world, the arbiter at the 1972 Fischer-Spassky match, Herr Lothar Schmidt, had his work cut out thanks primarily to Bobby Fischer's increasingly neurotic demands and paranoid convictions that there was, for example, a hypnotist planted in the audience to unnerve him, or that his chair was bugged, which added to a succession of walkouts, refusals to allow television into the arena, and other extremely dubious complaints, certainly did not help the well-mannered Spassky retain his composure. Our arbiter was determined to put his foot down from the word go, and in the final version, as masterfully laid down by Swedish superstar Bjorn Skifs, he has the lines, "If you're thinking of the kind of thing that we've seen in the past, chanting gurus, walkie-talkies, walkouts, hypnotists, tempers, fists, not so fast." Here is the demo, vocally and lyrically, by the other Bjorn, Ulvaeus.
Yeah.
Another big song from the score that was still a little way from completion, but clearly looking good en route, was I Know Him So Well. This number was also a big hit on the record charts around the world, although strangely not in the United States. However, the song is now very well known there as a Broadway standard. Even though Chess on Broadway in 1988 was not exactly a roaring success, but more of that in a future podcast. Elaine Page had been signed to the Album Project at the beginning of 1984, but when she first went to Stockholm in March to record the substantial part of Florence, the singer to perform the role of Svetlana, who was slated to sing the duet of I Know Him So Well with Florence, had not been decided. Consequently, Elaine sang both parts on the first tentative recording of I Know Him So Well, with something like 90% of the lyrics in place. Clearly, my words needed two contrasting points of view to be expressed by two singers, but it still sounded like a winner with one great voice tackling both.
It lasts eternally. Perfect situations must go wrong, but this has never yet prevented me wanting far too much for far too long. Looking back, I could have played things so fine. Isn't
Of course, before too long, Barbara Dixon was signed for the crucial second lead on I Know Him So Well, but not in time to join in that first tryout. In fact, Elaine and Barbara were never in the studio together for what turned out to be perhaps the biggest hit of both their careers. But they did sing it live together on several occasions, and are captured as a team for posterity via their pop video, with Elaine standing on a box at certain times, which helped propel the title to number one in the UK. By the spring of 1984, I was pretty confident that the record of Chess was going to be even better than I had dared hope. There seemed to be a barrage of wonderful melodies and superb performances building up, and whether or not it would work as a show, as a vinyl junkie and out-and-out record fan, I didn't spend too much time worrying about that aspect of the project. Our only concern was to make the best album possible of this unusual idea, and well before its release, I felt confident and relieved that I could not have chosen better colleagues for Chess. There were plenty of roadblocks to be navigated in due course, but as far as the record was concerned, it looked like plain sailing, if I may mix travel metaphors. Incidentally, although I was a true vinyl fanatic, I must admit that at that point in the early 80s, CDs were threatening world domination, and back then I was quite happy with this. In fact, I thought they were terrific, and all previous formats were doomed. How wrong can you be? I'll come back to Chess before too many podcasts have flown by, as there are so many scenes and songs that I haven't yet touched upon. Pity the Child, Someone Else's Story, Where I Want to Be. But as I'm recording this episode of Get Onto My Cloud in Christmas Week, I thought I should end this episode on a seasonal note. Of course, you may be listening to this in the middle of July, in which case I will not be insulted if you turn off your device now. However, you would miss the exciting competition with superb prizes that will be revealed directly after this Yuletide offering. The good news is that the track I've chosen from Elaine Page's Christmas album lasts a mere 51 seconds. However, within those 51 seconds, I feel I made a strong impact in my cameo role as Santa. Here is Elaine singing 32 Feet and 8 Little Tales.
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen, over the moon so bright. 32 feet and 8 little tails of white. Hurry, hurry, hurry through the night. Old St. Nicky works so quick, he leaves his toys for girls and boys, then over the roof so high. 32 feet and 8 little tails they fly. Faster, faster, faster through the sky. Oh, look at them go. Santa laughing.
Ho, 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 ho.
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen over the garden wall. 32 feet and 8 little tails in all. See them canter, hear old Santa call. Merry, Merry Christmas to you all.
The competition with superb prizes? That was just a ruse to get you to stay until the very end. This is the very end. That was episode 34 of my podcast, Get Onto My Cloud, written and presented by me, Tim Rice, and produced by Peter Hobbs.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.